That is true. That is true. Speaking of ever-changing situations, it's the same in the AFL, and Taylor Adams is on the line from the Magpies, part of our Inner Sanctum team. He's been good enough to join us. Good morning, Taylor.
Good morning, guys. How are we doing?
We're doing okay, mate. More importantly, how are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. All settled in up here in Sydney, so a pretty bit of a whirlwind the last 48, 72 hours. We were originally meant to fly out to Sydney on Monday evening, or Monday afternoon. On Saturday at about 4 o'clock, we got the heads up that we were flying out at 10 a.m. or 11 a.m. on Sunday. So, yeah, now that we're here, I think everybody's at ease a little bit more. We were able to train yesterday, which is nice, and we're just getting used to the hotel life.
So which part of Sydney are you in? There's that many teams going in different spots at the moment. I lose track.
We're in Darling Harbour for the next week, and then we're off to Perth on Saturday.
Right, and you've got a few boys over there in Perth. I saw them land yesterday and get some coverage over there, quarantining before that time. So Darling Harbour's a nice place to be. But it's are you allowed out to do stuff during the day, or what's the protocols through the day?
Yeah, we're under strict regulations. We're allowed out for 45 minutes in pairs. So yeah, it's a quick walk, grab a coffee or bite to eat and back to the hotel. So it's been okay. The guys have found some board games, and you know, there's plenty of competition going on in the common room, which is nice to see. And you know, our schedule is quite full. You know, we're able to train now, and yeah, guys are preparing to play this Friday night, which is good.
So Taylor, you obviously knew that you were going to be in a situation where you were going to Perth a little while ago, but then this sort of curveball came in to go to Sydney. So when you get told at short notice you're off, I mean, how do you pack? How do you prepare? What do you take? And how quickly did you have to get moving?
Yeah, well, it was a quick turnaround. I think the most difficult part for people was, or for players, was saying goodbye to families and partners, dogs, and not having that extra 24 hours to do that. So I know Jack Crisp was meant to be celebrating his daughter's first birthday, which is going to be in a couple of weeks, on Sunday afternoon. And unfortunately, that was obviously cut short. So, little things like that make it difficult. But with the packing, it was pack as much as you can and hope for the best, I guess, Whitey. It was not a lot of method to the madness. But, as I said, I think there was almost a little bit of relief just getting off the plane and getting here, getting into the hotel and settling in to some degree. It was, a bit of a whirlwind over the weekend.
So when you get the news yesterday, as we all did, that Victoria's gone into lockdown, and there is a chance now that means that you're not going to be able to get back into Victoria if you want to complete a football season in that sort of 30-day window. How do you feel about that, and how do your teammates feel about that when you chatted about it over dinner last night?
Yeah, it's shattering. From my perspective, it just puts extra pressure on my partner. She's got to work from home now. She's a speech therapist, so most of her work is done face-to-face with children, which we take away from her. But I think I look at the bigger picture, and I look at guys who had to leave their partners with children. They were probably banking on having some support from their families. Al Pendlebury, for example, has got two young children, and I know that Scott had organised some family to support her during the period of him being away. So it means the players really have to reassess the situation. Means that there's obviously some communication going on around potentially getting the families into the hubs, which probably wasn't as accessible as previously. And so there's obviously some angst amongst the playing group around that. It comes from a really selfless position or a selfless place. I think the players are just really worried about their families and their partners, so they're trying to make their life as easy as possible, and that's pretty difficult when you're 750 kilometres away.
That's a really good point, Taylor, because I think, we consider what it's like for the players being away in this situation, and sometimes we do not forget, but it impacts more people than just those that are going into these hubs. Some of the people who are travelling with you, starting to reconsider things, given the situation back here in Melbourne?
Not necessarily reconsider, but I think there's going to be some work done behind the scenes to make sure that those families are supported. No doubt, you know, 6 weeks is a long time to look after children by yourself without any support. So, I'm sure the AFL, the AFLPA, and the football club will do what's best for players and their families to ensure that both partners are happy. You know, it's all well and good to have a happy footballer up here, but we've got to remember that there's families back in Melbourne that are dealing with stresses that we don't have to deal with currently. So I think the support from the AFL, the AFLPA, and the football club will certainly review the process at the moment that we're currently in, and hopefully make some changes to help those that need it.
That's such a big part of the puzzle, Taylor. I'm sure everyone's really aware of that. When you and the rest of the group were thinking about going into this hub situation, what were the biggest considerations? Not about all that part of it, but about what you would be experiencing when you're in, quite restricted, quite restricted situation away from home. What were the things that you feel were your biggest concerns, or the things that you considered that might be something that you would have to overcome during this next period of time?
Do you mean for the players up here, Sherelle?
Yeah.
I think it's just the logistics of how everything's going to work. You know, we're still playing this Friday. So from a player's point of view, and it might sound a little bit selfish, we just wanted the best opportunity to prepare to play well. You know, facilities, we're completely out of our comfort zone. So having access to facilities that allow us to do that. And I guess having enough time away from football whilst we're in this hub that we can, you know, sort of be ourselves, not get completely caught up in working 24/7 whilst we're up here. And the footy club being huge on that. That's been one thing that we've got some experience from. Well, Nick Maxwell does a bit of work at the Storm, and he was obviously, they've been in the hub for a number of weeks now, so he got some feedback from those guys, and they're able to pass on some of the stuff that he's learnt. And that was basically just around making sure that we don't flood players with things to do, give them autonomy. Obviously, we've got training sessions and weights and a few team meetings, but nothing really extra that has to go on top of that whilst we're up here. Just try to keep the schedule as similar to what it was back in Melbourne, and that was probably the two biggest things, the logistics and the training facilities, giving us opportunity to prepare as well as we can, and then not over giving us too much football to deal with whilst we're up here.
It's been a fascinating period for your footy club, Tay, must admit. There's seemingly news coming out of it left, right and centre every other day. You've had obviously the Steele and Linden situation last week, the Jordan DeGoey thing late last week, the Travis Varko situation through the weekend. It's just things left, right and centre, let alone the whole Heredia Lumumba cloud that hangs over the club as well. How much of that is infiltrating the playing group? And how do you, or if it's not, how do you separate that?
Well, it's hard to ignore as a player. Yeah. You know, we've got access to social media just like you guys do, so it's almost impossible to keep players sheltered from it, or to stop players reading about it. I think what we've done is we've just tabled everything and discussed it. The club's been really transparent in the way that they've handled these issues. A lot of these issues are above our pay grade. So even as leaders, they're above our pay grade. So we continue to support our teammates as best we can, the guys that are going through these difficult periods. And then also support our younger players and guys that have any questions about what's happening. As you said, there's something popping up quite regularly, and it's not ideal for any football team. So it's just something we've had to deal with. We're working through it. There's a lot of unknowns still. And as I said before, it was really nice just to get away to clear the air. Once we landed in Sydney, we had a bit of a catch-up with the team, and we were able to clear the air about some of these things and have a really positive discussion about what we want to get out of the next 6 weeks.
Does it worry you that it could become a distraction, Taylor, or are you fairly confident that things will be okay?
You're pretty confident that we'll handle this. Yeah, I think the main thing is to support the guys that are going through these difficult periods, to ensure that if they need the support to get up on the weekend to play and train and perform, then they get that. I think that those guys will find it really difficult. I imagine Steele's week last week would have been horrendous, and I imagine Geordie's weekend would have been really difficult. So we've just got to support those guys. I'm under the impression that the other guys around them, that's what we do really well. We come together and, we'll focus on what we can control and go out there on Friday and hopefully perform really well.
Taylor, I want to talk about the footy as well, but the Steele situation was a bit perplexing for me, I must confess. If you had to name one player that wouldn't get himself into trouble in this sort of situation, I probably would have nominated Steele at Collingwood. Were you surprised, and how is he coping with this sort of thing that I can't imagine he had to cope with before, about the thought of being suspended for 4 weeks for an indiscretion off the field?
I think it just highlights that everyone's human. I was surprised, no doubt. I didn't expect to wake up to the news of still going through that on Monday, so... there's not much I can really say, Whitey. It's sort of like been done. No doubt it's been a really challenging period for him and his fiancée. So he's one of my best mates. So instead of looking to throw him under the bus, I think he'd be feeling crappy enough himself without me going out and doing that. So, you know, we're going to miss him on the field, obviously. He's one of our very best players and one of the best players in the league. So, you know, he would have been hurting on Friday night watching us perform the way we did, knowing that he could have helped. I spoke to him early in the week last week and just said that a guy's not judged by one action. He's as you said, he's put forth a pretty good 10 to 12 years at the football club in terms of his performance on the field and performance off the field. He's a great leader of our football club. He's a great person of our football club, and we'll support him through what's going to be a difficult time, and look forward to seeing him get back on the park and doing what he does best.
The 8 goals, if we take it to footy, the 8 goals in a row from Essendon last Friday night, what was the wash-up from that in the review, Taylor? I can't imagine that would have happened to the Magpies very often in recent years.
Yeah, it was certainly an outlier. Our performance on Friday night was, felt really disconnected out there. It was just one of those games that just didn't work for us. We started really well. We got smacked around the ball, which has been our strong suit. And our ability to defend, which has also been one of our pieces of competitive advantage, made it almost impossible for our backs to defend. They were able to just fly through us, which was disappointing. We reviewed it really strongly, and we're just looking forward to Friday night now. We feel like we've picked up exactly what went wrong. We'll make amends for that Friday.
The another layer of something that you guys are dealing with is obviously the Jeremy Howe knee injury. I don't think we've spoken to you since that horrific injury. It was so horrible to watch, and no doubt that has an impact, as you say, in your defence end. What are the sort of things that you have to do to shift things? I know we've spoken about this with other injuries that you guys have dealt with over the last couple of years. Is it just a one-in, one-out for that, or does it change the structure of what you're trying to do back there?
Yeah, it is a one-in, one-out, but obviously you can't replace the output that Jeremy has.
No.
We'll definitely, and we replaced him with a like-for-like in Matt Scharenberg last week, and I thought Shaz was really good. It's great to see him back on the park and doing what he does best. He's had a tough road himself to get to where he is. So that was a real positive in our week last week, having Shaz back out there. I think the reason why our defence looked so vulnerable on the weekend was probably just the lack of pressure around the ball from our midfield. And we highlighted that really early in the week, and I were able to train some of that stuff yesterday. So, yeah, it was a really, really disappointing night for the football club. And the only way that we saw, well, the best way we saw to get through that was to review it and then go out and train it yesterday. And difficult at times, given that we're restricted in what we can do at training. But, in terms of our smaller groups. But the intensity at training yesterday was really good. And, we've just got to keep looking forward.
That's all you can do, mate.
That comeback that you had a little bit in that last quarter probably was some positives to take out of that, but probably tough that you didn't quite get there too.
Yeah, we probably played 20 minutes of good footy. And the Bombers didn't allow us to play much more than that. And we started really well, kicked 3 goals, and that last period of the middle period of the last quarter was relatively positive. Don't think it was necessarily our brand of footy. It was really fast, and probably allowed them more of a chance of kicking away than it did to get us back in the game. But it was a positive that we never gave up, and that's something that our group will never do. So. As I said, back to work and this week, and hopefully we can perform a little bit better on Friday.
I'm sure your fans are looking forward to that, and the teammates as well, Tom. We know you'll be out there having a crack. Last one before I let you go, just quickly, are you still getting the COVID test regularly?
Yes, we are.
Yeah. Okay.
Today.
Just checking. Good luck with the little cotton butter, or the meter long cotton butter up the nose again today. Go get them, mate. Enjoy the coffee and the latte today. Get it in the common room and beat them on the Xbox. Go get them.
Love it. Thanks, guys.